we're automatically perceiving the world and perceiving others through these sort of filters, for whatever filters we have on at the time. And then we're making judgments about people and about ourselves based on this unconscious, or there's a lady now who uses the term pre-reflective, which means it's, we're not aware that it's happening. So it's not like I meet somebody, a person, or they come into my interaction and that I say, oh, this is a person just like me, and then I form an opinion about them gradually. It's like we immediately and instinctually have a response to people. And there's a psychologist, Susan Fiske, F-I-S-K-E, who breaks our responses to people down in, she says we have like four categories we put people in. And there's like a little chart at the end of your handout, which will mean nothing. It's just like a square. I don't want to debate her model or anything, but she thinks we have a warmth. She talks about it in dimensions, a warmth dimension. Basically, we're evaluating whether we like somebody or not. And she also says a lot of this is through stereotypes too. So it's not like our brain is like totally like. And then another dimension is what she calls competence, which is doesn't really capture it. It's sort of status or something like that. So how important somebody is, maybe. And I think I put her article will be up there if you want to read some of her stuff. And I think she probably has TED Talks and stuff too. But anyhow, she says that we immediately put people in like one of, like high competence, high warmth. That would be somebody that we think is maybe important. And it's all relative. Each of us does it differently. So like the same person wouldn't be perceived by us the same way. But someone who, that would be sort of like my in-group or who I want to be like. And if someone in that, if I'm like perceiving someone there and they're suffering, I'm going to experience compassion or sympathy for them. Mm-hmm. If someone is high warmth and low competence, that's kind of like low status maybe. Compared to myself, maybe someone I sort of unconsciously look down on and think I'm superior than that individual, but also have positive affections, then it's going to be more pity if that person's suffering. So pity is very much not compassion. Pity is very much kind of like, I'm up here, you're down there, poor you, kind of. And if we've all been the recipient of pity, we sort of know what it feels like to be pitied. It doesn't feel the same as if someone is having just compassion for you with no agenda, just I'm there with you even you're whatever. That's. And then she talks about, according to her, she's studied people all over the world, and she would say that, you know, everybody's doing this. Low competence and low warmth, those would be people I despise, basically, and that I kind of look down on in terms of status or what have you. And certain groups pop up here often in her research. Persons with addictions often pop up here, homeless persons, some types of disabilities, even though some types of disabilities are also in the high warmth category. But and again, it's different for each of us. And then, I forgot what I said, high competence and low warmth would be, think of the politician you can't stand, whoever that is.
Arrogance.
Just whoever you can't stand. That person, so if that person's suffering, it might be, there might be envy when they're not suffering, but or it could be just wanting them to suffer, actually, you know, or disgust or anything.
You deserve it.
You deserve it, yeah. And each of these.
I want to live to see you get justice.
And each of these kind of has a story about suffering with it. For instance, you made your own bed, deal with it, kind of. Thought. That might be a thought we might have for some people who are suffering, right? And others, you know, poor you. It must really suck to be you, you know. I mean, sorry, pardon. But then the compassion, you know, people that were, if we're opening to compassion, it's, you know, it's just pure sympathy, right? Or
there's no judgment,
Yeah, it's a pure
acceptance.
Right. So, and I don't want to talk about her model, but it's just the point I'm making is that we're doing this, whether we're doing exactly what she's saying, we're viewing the world in terms of biases, basically. Yes?
When you say low competence, are you speaking of education or sort of status?
Well, it's really kind of fuzzy, so I don't want to get too much into it. I'll put her article up. If she doesn't define it real clearly. She would say, I think, like in neuroscience, they talk about any moment of experience, we have this sort of, it's more like I don't want to get into it really. I was about to be 10 minutes and not explaining it really, just him hawing around. It's more the easiest way in for me is just to think of emotions, like who is somebody that maybe creates envy for me, and that would be maybe high competence, to use her term, and maybe somebody that more, if I'm like in these sort of bias states, disgust maybe sometimes, or just a little twinge of happiness maybe if they're suffering. That would be high con.
Or elation.
Maybe ask them how we're over you and you just can't stand them.
Yeah, it's all relative. And I don't like the word competence myself, but she, in her article, she'll give 5 or 6 words, but it's kind of how you see them relative to yourself.
Yeah.
And it's not like cut and dry.
It's a pecking order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People can move and it's from one to the other.
Yeah, and it's very pre-reflective. It's kind of like, are you in my, one of them I think of is kind of like, are you in my group or not? That's kind of the warmth. And the other, it's kind of like, how much power do you have relative to myself or something like that? But really what I'm hitting on is just that we're seeing the world in terms of differences. We're seeing others in terms of differences, basically. Even the people we see as in our in-group, they're in our in-group because they're not like these other people. Which leads to what we're doing in Common Humanity. Thupten Jinpa, if any of you have his book, I love this phrase of his. It's called the power of perceived similarity. And that's what we're going to play with this week. Power of perceived similarity. And it's not similarity such as, I love the St. Louis Cardinals, and my neighbor loves the St. Louis Cardinals. We're really similar. You know, because that kind of similarity would be like, all right, we like the Cardinals, you other people like the Cubs, you're not like us. It's a perceived similarity that cuts under everything. So it gets back to this idea that the self-compassion practices, as we if you explore those more and more, you sort of can get to maybe this sort of level of, I really don't want to suffer. And with the loving kindness, yeah, I really do want to be happy. And that's what we all have. So we all have this basic urge, aspiration, urge to be happy, basically, and to not want to suffer. And then there's different ways of getting at it. Intellectually, I think it fits very well into a lot of things that we believe as Americans, right? We have a right to be happy, and we're all kind of the same on certain core elements of, you know, it's sort of embedded in us. And I think this practice, ultimately, it can hit you on a gut level, perhaps, where you actually just see someone as a person first, and then without, like, this filter. That would be the goal, I think.
Well, a lot of times I think first impressions, you know, or like you meet somebody and you form this impression of them, and then 5 minutes later you're thinking, wow, you're not what I thought at all, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So if we really could live from a perspective of common humanity, Like the Dalai Lama has said sometimes that, like, whenever, if you see pictures of people when they meet the Dalai Lama, they're just like, it's just like just being in his presence brings out joy in people. And he says that whenever he sees someone, and people get mad at him because he'll be friends with anybody once he's met them, regardless of their political anything, you know. Anyhow, he says that he feels this like spark of affection whenever he meets someone, like kinship. And that would be common humanity. Like the full embodiment of it would be the spark of, you're just like me, you're part of the human family. And then secondly, after that, maybe we might evaluate, you know, is this person like not someone I should trust or whatever, but the first spark would be of kinship, really. I like that word. Power of perceived similarity is what Thupten Jinpa calls it. But it's not easy.
it's interesting. I love the word reframing that you use, because it's like, wow, why weren't we brought up this way? Because wouldn't it be so much more simple than having me in our, I'm in my 60s and I've got to be taking this class. You know?
Well, I think Kelly McGonigal, one of her phrases that she uses when she teaches CCT is the brain does what the brain does. So I think it's important just to see that as a human condition as well. It's just the way we evolved.
Yeah, but what if we were all raised to take 5 minutes out of our morning in the very beginning and reflect but we don't. I mean, Westerners don't do that, right? I mean, they weren't raised that way. Maybe you raised your children that way. But I certainly didn't. I never heard of meditation until I was, you know, an adult.
Yeah, I mean, we don't do that. There's a big emphasis now on compassion circles to try to get the stuff in the school curriculum. Which I'm getting off topic, sorry. But. It's hard. It's because we're like retraining ourselves in meditation, and it's really hard, honestly, and it can be frustrating, and it's not easy. I think the common humanity piece is like the core of compassion, and I think that's something that could get out there. And just talking my spiel for us, I think that's something we could get out in the world a little more quickly. But like in any meditation, sometimes what we experience are our resistances. So it's tough if you really start working with this, because you'll come in contact with some of your prejudices. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a certain amount of purpose, intention, willingness to go there. Mm-hmm. And I won't go there right now.
There's a lot of personal honesty. Mm-hmm.
Personal honesty. And sometimes our identities are really tied up in who we are, and part of that is who I'm also not. And there's a whole lot of factors there. So it's really important when we start this practice, we're going to start working with different categories of people. So we're going to work with a loved one like we have been, but then we're also going to work with other categories of people, such as persons who are not our favorite people.
I was
resistant. I know.
And and we're going to work with, this is really interesting and important, this is a category that's often overlooked, we're going to work with persons who are what they call neutral persons in the Buddhist psychology. So we're going to take three categories of persons. So neutral people would be people that, maybe a neighbor that you'd recognize, you might wave to them, but you don't have any positive or negative feelings for them. It's just an acquaintance. Maybe a coworker, not the coworker who aggravates you or the coworker who you go have lunch with, but just maybe somebody you exchange pleasantries or whatever, but you never really get to know them. They don't get to know you. It's just a person. If you go to a coffee shop like I go to regularly, there's people I see repeatedly, you know, hi, how are you? I might even know their names, but it never goes any deeper than that. So I don't really know anything about them other than they sell coffee. So we're going to work with those people too in this meditation. It's really interesting. I encourage you to jump in and try it this week.
I can do that.
And when we work with, I'm going to go ahead and give some tips for working with this practice. Time flies. Don't go for, if you feel like there's somebody maybe that you have a lot of resentment for or has harmed you, or that it could be someone you don't want to feel compassion for. It could be somebody maybe that you think, yeah, I need to work on. Don't go there in the meditation. Start with the person who irritates you a little bit. Start there. That's where everybody wants to, that's what we want to start. So we're going to, in this practice, we're going to imagine someone we care for, someone that's neutral, yes, and then someone that's difficult. And so the key is make it, and there's also no, these categories are fluid, so there's no like need to judge yourself. I can't, if I choose my mother-in-law, it's fine. She irritates me a little bit sometimes. That's all we need to work with. I mean, we all have that, like there's some people like you meet them and there's like this sort of, like you don't like them as much, you don't resonate. That's all we're working with, just that any time you have sort of that thing going on with somebody. And other people we meet and we just, oh, immediately, you know, oh, wow, we should get together and have dinner with them, you know, they, you know, someone you just met. So when working with a difficult person, don't like do a scan of your life and think of your worst enemies and don't, because honestly that can be a barrier to what we're doing the next 3 weeks, because we're going to start expanding compassion, and sometimes people shut down like, I don't want to expand it, and that's fine, because
somebody who irritates the whole world is really hard for me to get my mind around.
So start with somebody who just irritates you a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
And it needs to be somebody that you could kind of hold an attention for a while, not someone who's just really going to piss you off so much that you can't do the meditation, you know. So.
Because they may feel the same way about you.
They may or they may not. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's part of what we'll work with, is realizing that if I start recognizing this about myself, it ultimately can allow me to have more compassion for others. Maybe the person who's responding, projecting stuff onto me that I'm just like here innocently, and they're like having these reactions to it. I can reframe that as, oh, that's just their stuff, so to speak.
Well, I have noticed a lot this week that resistance.